Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Today is really a very interesting conversation in this text. It's one of the most sharpest disagreements between two Christians that we find in the New Testament. And yet, the truth of it is just tremendously simple. And the statement that we want to open with this morning is just simply this: that one can have the right beliefs. One can know the truth of the gospel and yet slip back into behavior that is contrary to the very truths they claim to hold. We are all guilty of this. That we all have, for those of us who are Christians, an understanding of the truth, and that understanding has been made apparent to us in a variety of fashions, but the core reality of what it points to, Jesus Christ and his death alone, is a truth that we hold. And yet we know and we have to pay attention to those realities when we slip back into behavior that not only is contrary to the gospel, but actually is itself a stumbling block to those who could be coming into the faith, that could be learning about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, a little background on what's happening to Peter. Okay, so, well, first, in Galatians. The Galatians has been a book in which Paul is trying to teach the people of the churches in Galatia, remind them, in fact, of the truth that they heard that they're now abandoning. There had been a group of people coming in called the Circumcision Party. I don't know how those two words come together. It's not really... it's an oxymoron right there. But what that means is that there were those who says that really to be Christians, they did believe in Jesus Christ, but to really be a true Christian, you had to be a Christian and also follow all the Jewish customs and laws and ritual ceremonies. That is to say, it was salvation was by Christ through faith plus following all of the Jewish customs that were found in the Old Testament, which, of course, Pharisees followed, they thought, to a T. And it's only natural that something like this would infiltrate these churches in Galatia because it has infiltrated churches for the past 2,000 years. What else is a part of the gospel? People assume that there are other things that needed to be added to it. The vigilance of the church to try to make sure that the gospel truth is at its core unchanged has been a long and difficult battle because people want to dispense with the cross time and time again. Do we really need it? Do we really need the truth of what Christ did for us? Is it really true that you're only saved by faith? Well, Paul is adamant about this. And he meets up with Peter in Antioch. Antioch was in northern Syria. It was the place for the missionary journeys of Paul into the Gentile regions. So it was the mission-sending church. We've sent a couple missionaries recently. Antioch was a serious mission-sending church. They sent missionaries throughout the known world at that time to go to the Gentiles, and they were given kind of impetus to do that because of what happened in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, in which they realized that could Gentile believers come in? People who weren't Jews really have faith? Because all along, all of Jesus' disciples were Gentiles, or were Jewish. Paul himself was Jewish. But Peter had this amazing vision, which he tells his people in Acts chapter 15, about how he was given a vision about how all these unclean animals, according to the Old Testament, had now become clean. And it was related to his connection with meeting a Gentile man named Cornelius. Can I have fellowship with this man? Can I have him come into my home? And the Lord in the dream said three times, that which God has made clean is clean. So Peter was there in Jerusalem in the conversation, can Gentiles be admitted into the church? And they said yes. That what makes a Christian is believing in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, believing that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Peter knew the gospel. He was saved by the gospel. As you remember, he failed miserably when the hour had come. You will deny me three times. No, I won't. He did. He knew the truth of the gospel. And then when he went to Antioch, the text says he was eating with Gentiles there. They were now his brothers and sisters in the faith. And yet, the circumcision party comes up into Antioch. They claim to be from James. They likely weren't, because James was very much involved in that council in Acts chapter 15. James, the brother of Jesus. And they came up and, again, were trying to say that to be a Christian, you had to follow all of the Jewish regulations as well as believing in Jesus Christ. Well, Peter, who once himself or still was Jewish, came a part of that tradition, began to be pulled away. He separated himself from the Gentiles here. Now, this isn't like saying, you know, at the lunch table, you pick up your table and you go to a different table, to the cool table. That's bad enough. Like, when you separate from them, they can't come into your home. You can't shake hands. All of the dietary cleanliness laws were in place here. And Peter was doing, according to the circumcision party, that which God had instituted in the Old Testament. All the cleanliness laws. And the purpose of these cleanliness laws were to help people understand that to come before God, you had to be in a position in which you were cleansed by those things that were required of you. You couldn't come into the presence of a holy God unclean. And therefore, you had to have very dietary restrictions. You had to wash your hands. You couldn't touch a dead corpse. You couldn't associate with Gentiles who were not part of the chosen people. Well, Jesus makes very clear, though, that when we get into the New Testament, he says it's not anything on the outside that makes you unclean anymore. It's what comes out of the inside, that Jesus has put aside those dietary laws, those kinds of restrictions that says that you become unclean by touching things and associating yourself with things, associating yourself with people. He's going to the heart of the matter. And Peter knew these truths of Jesus, and yet he slipped back. Why did he do it? Sometimes what we used to know becomes itself comfortable for us to slip back into. And sometimes for the sake of appearances, these people come claiming to be from James, a major official of the church in Jerusalem. We want to be accepted. What he slipped back into is a form of nationalism that, okay, maybe it is still true that only the Jewish route is the way to go to be accepted by God. And he slipped back into this nationalism because he was essentially had peer pressure involved. And he slipped into this. He knew the truth, yet he pulled back. And you can only imagine how those Gentile believers had felt. Peter was hanging out with them. He was having meals with them. And he said, he pulled away. I'm not going to associate with you anymore. You know what? We do these very same things today. Nothing has changed. Nothing's new under the sun. Christianity is full of a history of having the gospel truth and yet adding things to it. And we tend to separate on sectarian lines. You know, I can't sit down with you to have a meal because you're Baptist. Or your Assembly of God, or your Greek Orthodox. I can't sit down to have a meal with you or because of the color of your skin. Happened for centuries, still has struggles today. I can't touch you or associate with you because that may wreck my testimony. Though the question we ask, and how does someone ever come to know the truth that they're lost if someone doesn't associate with them, right? We can be nationalistic. We can be racist in these senses. We can be classist. We don't want to associate with someone from a different socioeconomic status. We prefer to associate with people who are on the same pay scale, the same kind of house, same kinds of cars, same kinds of toys. And even though we're not recognizing it such, it's still an affront to the gospel. And thirdly, if you, we tend to ascribe moral realities to our preferences. Churches that are big, that are, have contemporary music programs, look down on those that are small that don't. And some of those who are liturgical tend to look down on those who have contemporary music. It's just music. The gospel truth has to be spoken in it. If you wear a three-piece suit, I went to school in the East Coast, they all wore three-piece suits to church. They were really snotty to those who didn't. We tend to ascribe moral superiority things to our preferences that have nothing to do with the gospel. And it causes great damage to it. Now, differences aren't, therefore, to be aren't unimportant. We talk about theological preferences. We talk about how a church orders itself. That's important. And some will use these texts to say that when that which Jesus has made clean is clean, is to say that Jesus doesn't look on any of us as having any sin anymore. Well, that certainly can't be the case. He came to die on the cross. He had to clean something up. And that's still something that needs to be cleaned. This is not about the fact that we don't call sin sin anymore. This is simply the truth of, do we hang out with, do we associate with, do we have a testimony such that we're willing to spend time with people and not assume that our associating with them will make us unclean? Paul says this has to stop. In verse 14, he recognizes that Peter is not, the text is, not walking in line with the gospel. The modifier to the word podos is phi, is ortho. Remember orthodontics? Straighten your teeth. Ortho walking is what it is. Straight walking. Peter was not walking in line with, keeping straight with the gospel in his actions. He was separating from those who were his brothers and sisters in the faith because he had attached some kind of preference for wanting to make these circumcision party people happy. He folded. His spine got weak. He hadn't the courage to say to them, you know what, they are sinners just like me and you. They may be Greek, not Jewish. But I'm going to have a meal with them. And to the degree that we disagree on the truth, we're going to have a conversation about that around the meal. He just didn't have the courage to do that, but Paul did. And he called Peter on it. You're not walking in line with the truth that you know. You've been given a vision. He knew this about Peter because Peter explained it to the whole council. You've been given a vision that these Gentiles are now part of the family of faith simply by believing in Christ. We begin to sort out what it means to follow Christ in response to that grace. But because of that truth, we eat with them. They are brothers and sisters in the faith. So I know it sounds so stark to kind of think of it in these terms now, but then it was just shocking to have a Jewish person eat with a Gentile. Jesus really upset the apple cart in this way. But not only does Paul recognize that Peter's not walking in line with the gospel, he confronts him on it in a way that I think we can learn from. Because we tend to confront behavioral lapses, right? He could have just said, Peter, go eat. right? We tend to find behavior that we think is contrary to the gospel. We want to say, fix the behavior. Stop doing that. Do this. Stop doing that. Do this. Paul doesn't do that. Paul goes to the heart of the problem in trying to understand the gospel. You're not walking in line with it. He goes through a long list of things. Listen, you know we're talking about not just eating with people. He's talking about what it means to be saved. You know, Peter, that a person is not justified by washing their hands and not touching a dead corpse or hanging out with the Gentile. That's not the means by which they're justified. For the same reason today, we're not justified by any holy things that we're doing. I go to church every Sunday. You want to kind of take the same thing the Pharisees said to Jesus and put it in 21st century. I go to church every Sunday. I tithe in the plate. I make sure that I give money to the poor. I do all these things. Then, right, I should be right with God. Jesus says, no. The danger of coming to the end of it all and saying, I never knew you. Paul says, listen, you're not justified by doing all these things. You're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And what he's doing, he's saying, Peter, there's a problem with your behavior here, but it's because you are departing from, not walking in line with the truth. The heart of the matter is, how is a person right with God? And if a person is right with God by faith, you should eat with them. If you don't believe that anymore, then you need to say that. It's really a beautiful way. So quite often we just say, if we can just confront a behavior, it'll change. It's actually a heart issue. It's a deeper issue. What is it that we hold to be true? Because we should be able to sit across the table from someone from South Africa or Zimbabwe, someone from the other side of the tracks in the town, someone who speaks a different language, simply because through faith in Christ, a person is justified. And Peter knows better. He's been given so much. He's been shown what makes a person clean. He's been forgiven his abandonment of the Lord. And yet Peter, in essence, is slouching back into becoming a condescending snot. He really is. He pulls himself aside and says, I'm not going to eat with them. Paul says, Peter, what's the gospel? It's not about eating. It's about what the gospel is. And Peter, as we know, gets it quite right. He wrote two letters to churches that got the gospel right. He always had the gospel right. He just wasn't living in line with it. Peter called him on it. You know, we need to allow the Lord to call us on these things at times when we want to add stuff to what the heart of the gospel is. It's important for us to continue to be lights in this world. It's important for us to call sin, sin. It's important for us to make sure that we say what the truth is and what a lie is. We get this from the Barmer Declaration of Faith, that we affirm these truths. We also say these truths are wrong because false truths, even ones that sound very religious, can lead people into desperate heartache and despair. All these things are really important, but we should never compromise the heart of the gospel truth that we are right with God only one way, through the death and the resurrection of his Son. And that truth is appropriated only through faith in him, believing in him. And you know what? All the other stuff of how we live and behave, we're going to get wrong. We're going to need to help each other along the way. We're going to continue to stumble and fall. But we need to know the heart and the truth of the gospel, to live in line with that. Because when we do, then we begin to learn what it means to truly love others and to love God. The two greatest commandments that Jesus called us to. You know what? You have this pillar of a figure, Peter. He had a golden moment in Antioch, eating with these Gentile Christians who were going to be sent out into the missionary field, and he just rejected them when his spine crumbled because he wanted to be approved. beauty of grace, though, is that he gets called on it by someone who knew what the gospel of truth was as well. And we can only hope that table fellowship was restored. Peter's ministry was great until the end of his life, in which, as tradition held, he was crucified upside down at his request so as to not dishonor his Lord, saying, "There's only one death on the cross that matters. It's Christ, through faith alone." Let us live in line with that truth, because if we believe that, how we live matters. How it is that we, in all of our actions, point to that truth matters. Orthopodis, straight walking, not with rules, with the gospel truth that the one cross is enough. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth. And we know we are all here, and we could be those whom Paul calls on the carpet this morning, in which our very attempt to be holy, our very attempt to be truthful, our very attempt to be Christian has actually done a disservice to the gospel. Forgive us for that. And forgive us for where we have actually wandered away from that gospel truth of the cross and the truth that is found in that. We want to be those who follow Christ with all of our hearts. Help us, therefore, to live in line with the gospel. Not for our sakes, but for yours. Not so that we would look good, but that others would know the truth that they long in their souls to experience, that who they are, what they've done, how unclean they may feel, can be washed away, can be cleansed once and for all by just believing in the one who stood in their place and died for them. Help us, Lord, to not add or detract from that truth. Strengthen our spines to hold true to that glorious truth. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whoever believes, again, that word believes, whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. Thank you for this in Jesus' name, and pray together as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.